Tov. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. As advertised this morning, the topic for today is electrical appliances on Shabbos. And my text for this evening is a beautiful, beautiful sefer. It's called Orchos Shabbos. It's written by two very distinguished Talmidei Chachamim. One is Rabbi Shalom Gelber, and one is Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin. Both in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, they learned the Chavrusa, and they put out this beautiful sefer. It's come very new, Tov Shin Samach Tes. That's this past year. Can't say exactly what month it came out, but I think I only saw it towards the end of the year, so it's really fairly new. And it is really, volume Beis and Gimel came out at that time. The initial volume having come out some 5 years earlier. And this second volume, which is really divided into two, I guess it was too thick to put into one. It's called Beis and Gimel. This is in Gimel. It's called Perek Chavov, aptly entitled Shimush v'Machshirei Chashmal B'Shabbat. Using electrical appliances on Shabbos. This spans over 30 pages. It's not a small chapter. And we're not going to discuss every single detail tonight. There are other weeks still to go, but we're going to begin. In his introductory comments, which span two pages, he covers the ground that we spoke about last Motzei Shabbos, about the question of the use of electricity in general. He quotes the opinion of the Chazon Ish, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's letters to him, and the Beis Yitzchak that we had mentioned. He also quotes from Moshe Feinstein, who, in a famous tshuva, is worried maybe there's some kind of a chashash d'oraisa with using completing circuits on Shabbos, although he doesn't say it definitively. The difference would be whether it's a Torah prohibition or a rabbinical prohibition, whether we may ask a non-Jew to put on an electric appliance, what's called b'makom tsar or hefseid. In Shulchan Aruch it says, in Simon Shin Zayin and Arachayim, that it's permissible to tell a non-Jew to do something which is rabbinically prohibited in a situation which involves tsar or hefseid. And so that those who maintain that electricity, let's talk about a fan, an air conditioner, things of this nature, which not involve any fires, are only rabbinic in nature, it would be permissible, according to them, to tell a non-Jew to put on a fan, an air conditioner, things of this nature. If it's much too hot, people have arm pain, or there's some question of hefseid on Shabbos, because it's what we call the shvus to shvus, telling a non-Jew to do something which is rabbinically prohibited, which again, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Simon Shin Zayin Sif Hei, it's permissible in cases of, if I'm not mistaken, tsar and hefseid and mitzvah. So they quote it from Rabbi Yashiv. Again, these are, when they don't quote a source, I assume it means that they heard from him directly. These people are well connected. That he did not feel that we could ask a non-Jew to do these things because we're afraid that it's a Torah prohibition. And the Torah prohibition, one may not ask a non-Jew to do it, even for the sake of a tsar, avoiding tsar, or avoiding hefsed, or performing a mitzvah. Now, I don't think that everyone agrees with this psak. I think there are many who maintain that electricity is likely only rabbinic in nature, as Rabbi Shlomo Zalman attempted to say. And even if we'll be afraid to rely on our wisdom with respect to doing it ourselves, with respect to asking a non-Jew to do it, which at most is a rabbinical violation, there were some who have taken a more liberal view and have allowed one to ask a non-Jew to do these things, fans and air conditioners and things of this nature. I'm sure there are 10 other manifestations of this. We can ask a non-Jew to do it because we think fundamentally it's a rabbinical prohibition. And the stakes are not that high. You know, we're afraid to take chances on ourselves violating Torah prohibitions. Here, again, as I said before, the worst case scenario, if we did something wrong, and it is wrong, to tell a non-Jew to do a Torah violation, to avoid hefsed or tzar or to facilitate a mitzvah. But it's a rabbinical offense. We should not, you know, put everything in context. So there are not everyone agrees with this psak, which is attributed here to Rav Yashiv. And something else which is found in this sefer, that the letter, which we spoke about a little bit last Motzei Shabbos, that according to the Chazon Ish, the violation is when you complete a circuit and the current flows, that is the violation of, on Shabbos according to Chazon Ish. However, he quotes an oral tradition which has been transcribed in a sefer called Chidushim Ubiyurim, that's written by the Chazon Ish's nephew, Rabbi Greinemann. It's not someone who's a stranger to the Chazon Ish's way of thinking, where which it says as follows, that one should not close a circuit in a particular area, even if it's open in a different place, and the current will not flow when he closes his path. This is extraordinarily relevant when it comes to alarm systems. Because as we will discuss, we won't get to it tonight. First of all, our techie's not here. And secondly, we just won't get that far. But if there is an issue of whether an individual may put on and off an alarm system, and many posts can distinguish between what we call open systems and closed systems, and they're assuming that this is incorrect. They're assuming that to close a particular part of a circuit, but nothing's happening yet because it's open somewhere else, would not be a problem. And here it's quoted that the Chazon Ish thought even that was prohibited, although it doesn't seem to fit in with the way he's quoted in the letter which he wrote to Rav Shlomo Zalman, which we discussed last week. This is all the introduction. He quotes in his final point that the Minchas Yitzchak, a very famous Persik of Dayan Weiss from Shalayim, in some places considers electricity to be rabbinic. In other places he's worried about that maybe it's a Torah prohibition. See the contradictions because it's an unresolved dispute. As I said last time, this only discusses electrical appliances where there is no filament, where there's no actual fire. We're not discussing electric lights. Incandescent lights are certainly a Torah prohibition, not because you put the current, but because you, in effect, lit a fire. So that's... And he claims over here...
The cool lights, not.
Not the LEDs, and those are not Torah prohibitions because they do not have any hot... there's no fire there. No fire. So the first... I will start where he starts. His very first example of an electrical appliance that each and every one of us uses in our house on Shabbos, without exception. There's no doubt that everybody here uses it. It's called a refrigerator, freezer, mekarer and makpi. There's a refrigerator, freezer, respectively. So, he's like this. Some of the questions are ancient. I mean, ancient. There's, as long as refrigerators have been around, 100 years, I don't know when the first refrigerators came out, the electric refrigerators. These questions have been around. Huh? 70 years. I don't know. I don't remember a world without a refrigerator. Put it that way. Is anybody in this world who remembers, in this room, remembers a world without a refrigerator? I don't know. The fact that houses had ice packs in the 40s doesn't mean they weren't refrigerators. I mean, they just couldn't afford it. But I think there were refrigerators in the 40s. I'm badly mistaken. So I don't know when it started. Okay, so it started 70 years ago. I think it was even earlier than that. But that's not the point. But the questions have been around for 70. Okay? So they're not new questions. But there are new, updated refrigerators, what he calls B'shanim Ha'achronot, in the more recent years, where there are more questions. So I'm just following his lead. The first and more oldest question is opening the refrigerator because it's a thermostat, and the thermostat controls when the motor goes on and off. When you open the refrigerator, obviously hot air comes in, and as a result of that, the motor is going to go on earlier than it would have otherwise. Those are facts which are not rebuttable facts, as a clear fact. It seems to me it's hard to disagree with these facts. He has a very interesting technical discussion. These people must have done their homework, because there are two kinds of thermostats. I learned it over here. A mechanical thermostat. It tells you how it works with gas, with a balloon, with this and that. Okay. Then he has a digital or analog thermostat. analogy? Huh? I'm just what he says. There's some kind of a very, this is a very low current in this thermostat, and when it gets a little bit warmer, there's more current, and when it gets a certain level of current, it creates a circuit is completed. And if it's digital, so when there's a little bit of a change in the current, the numbers on the some kind of a LED digital readout will in fact change. And the problem with this is that the result of your opening the door will be much more quickly perceived than in the original refrigerators. In the original refrigerator, it could easily happen. I open up my refrigerator, take out a bottle of water, close it. You can go 5 minutes, 10 minutes, many minutes, and nothing's going to happen. Nothing goes on. It depends. Huh? I'm saying, before we get to the curse, see, even before the writing, and these other ones, it can have a much more quick turnaround time, if you will. And it said, he writes over here, Pachot midaka. Less than a minute after you open the refrigerator, something's going to happen in this new kind of thermostat, which is either digital or what he calls here an analog thermostat. I can't tell you what kind of thermostat I have in my refrigerator. It's older. I think it's 30 years old. I think it's safe to say that it's
not an analog.
No, I'm pretty sure it's no problem. But those who have new kitchens and new refrigerators, I've seen many with these readouts. You know that's a serious issue. It's a very serious Shabbos issue, and as a matter of fact, he goes into further discussions. Of course, it's a light. He spoke with the light a little bit last time. It goes on in the refrigerator, which has to be detached before Shabbos. Then there's the self defrost, okay, and which I think most refrigerators are self defrosting. And then there's some that have in the freezer a fan, and the fan is meant to stop the ice from caking on. And in some of them, the minute you open the door, the fan goes off. That's a serious halachic question. That's a serious halachic question. Huh?
I had one like that.
Right. You changed it. Okay. Good thing you changed it. That could be a very serious question. That's not...
Yeah.
No, if you don't open the freezer on Shabbos, you have no problem. But if you have things in the freezer which you want to take out on Shabbos...
You couldn't open the freezer.
Could, right. So that's no good. So that's... Because what are you doing then? When you open the freezer door, it immediately the fan goes off. That's not something delayed reaction. That's immediate. And immediate actions are not allowed. So you're not allowed to turn the fan off, you're not allowed to open the door. And the same way you're not allowed to turn the fan on, you're not allowed to close the door. It's exactly the same thing. And that you have to really be careful when you buy a refrigerator freezer to do your homework and find out what exactly is happening. And there's a new one. I never heard of this one, but you tell me. Everyone, maybe this room even has it. There are certain freezers, they're afraid that if you leave the freezer open, leave it a little bit, it causes more electricity and it causes more ice. There's a kind of an alarm. If you leave the freezer open for a few minutes, it's a little bit of a ring. It will be and even a light may go on in certain cases. That's, huh? That's what you spoke about.
Yes.
Well, it's described over here, right here, page Samach Aleph, in the third volume of Aruch HaShabbos. He knows about it. I never heard about it until you told me last week, but now I read it again in the Sefer. Anybody in this room have that? Okay, so I guess we're not that modern in Riverdale. Okay.
All of those have a bypass.
Oh, that's good. It's good to know.
The alarm.
Okay, that's very good to know. Good to know. Okay. And there are some refrigerators, maybe someone has this in this house, that have a digital readout telling you how cold the refrigerator is and how cold the freezer is. And the minute you open the refrigerator door, it'll go from 30 to 31, or from the freezer. Huh?
Not that second.
No? You have it in your house?
No, but I've seen it. I have it.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Usually that's hooked to the... There's a button which... I have my button tape closed for that reason.
Uh-huh. So you can sort of... You can neutralize that. Okay, that's good to know, because if in fact... changes it immediately, it would be a problem. And then on the footnote, he says that some refrigerators have a special ice making machine. The minute you take out an ice cube, another ice cube is made or begins to become made. You have to find out. Sometimes we take ice cubes from the ice machine. At that minute, an electrical circuit is closed to make new ice, which could be, in effect, putting on a machine on Shabbos, which is not supposed to be done. So again, anyone have that in the refrigerator?
Not instant at all.
Not instant at all?
Huh?
Good. So I think if it should be bypassed on Shabbos. Okay, fine. And in page Samach Beis, he makes a disclaimer that whatever we've described until now is likely to be changed in the future. This is not the end all and be all. This sefer came out in Tavshin Samach Tes. I'm sure it was written a little before that and written over a few years. And who knows what tomorrow will bring in the highly advanced and constantly progressing technology of our time. Okay.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. Well, he talks about Shabbos mode. He talks about it. So now, when you buy a refrigerator, you better ask an expert to find out what's going on. That's how he starts. Os Aleph. Before you buy your fridge, beware. Stay away from these things. Okay. Remember to turn off the light before. Okay, that we understand. So as far as opening the refrigerator door, there are three opinions. Some say that as long as the motor is going, you may open it. But if the motor is not going, you may not open it. Why? Because when the motor is not going, you're causing the motor to go on earlier than otherwise. As opposed to a case when it's already working, all you're doing is continuing the status quo for a longer period of time, which is less objectionable. That's what we'll call the centrist, the middle opinion. There are two other opinions on either side. Some say, as Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, even if the motor is right now not running, you may open the refrigerator door, even though as a result, the motor will go on earlier than otherwise. That's his opinion. And there are some who say that even if the motor is actually running, you may still not open the refrigerator door because you're causing the motor to go on, to stay on longer than it would have otherwise. Who would have? We'll come to that. We pointed out that last week. And when we about central air conditioning, what about central heating? Which is, if you ask me, a much bigger problem, because there you're talking about a fire being lit, as air conditioning is only electricity, which is not as serious. Everything you're saying is correct. We'll come to talk about it. So, we can't resolve who's right. It's so complicated. The Shlomo Zalman claims that if it's a delayed reaction in this kind of a situation, it's called grum. That means it's only causing. And although causing we're not supposed to do normally, in this kind of a difficult case, it's for hefsed, for a mitzvah. And beyond that, you're not trying to put on the motor. You're just trying to get at the food. The fact that the motor goes on, so it's called a psik reshe. We spoke about it in the shiur today. That you're doing A leads to B. But psikration, delayed reaction, I believe is permissible. If you don't believe it is permissible, as Lenny said before, I don't say you can walk into your house on Shabbos on a day like today, 20 degrees, you walk into your house, and a blast of cold air goes in, and will affect your thermostat. No doubt about it, no question about it. How do you walk into your house on Shabbos? So we'll see how those who prohibit refrigerators, how they contend with opening their doors. I'm just not sure if that's true. Okay, anyway. Now, if you maintain, as the Chaznish has quoted, that you shouldn't even open the door when the motor is going, what do you do on Shabbos? If you're willing to permit that, you can always wait. I may have told you the story of Rav Zadel Epstein, Zichrono Livracha, when I was in his house on Shabbos. So he was a very calm individual, and I saw him suddenly being very agitated. It was right before, a little before Mincha time in the summer Shabbos. This is June of 1964, a long time ago. And he's pacing and he's upset. I don't know what does he want. So after a few minutes, he walks into the street and calls in a non-Jew from the street and asks him to open the refrigerator. What he was waiting for was the motor to go on. And he figured the motor will go on so he can open the refrigerator for Shalosh Shudas to get the food out. And it just wasn't going on. Lahakas. The motor was not going on. He's looking at his clock. We're not going to make it. He had to call in the goy. And as I always said, he could have asked me to open it. I would have opened it with no problem. But he was a Baal Musar. He wouldn't have asked me. That story is etched in my memory. So Chazanish said, you really shouldn't do that either. But it doesn't clear, say it's an absolute prohibition. So what do? You have to somehow find a way to detach the refrigerator's operation from its thermostat. I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know how that's done. I'm sure everything can be done, but I don't think it's a simple thing. So it should go on at certain times, irrespective of the thermostat. And although Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote him a letter saying that in the Chazon Ish's day he would advocate not opening the fridge even if the motor was going, but in a pinch, they forgot to do this new trick to detach the thermostat, and in a pinch he allowed them to open it up while the motor was running. Even though he would said you shouldn't do it, but in a pinch he would allow it. Okay. So these are the three opinions. I think the meaning in America, the most people are lean as far as this is concerned. If the light was left on, you have a whole different problem. You're putting on a light, that's really bad. A fascinating discussion as to whether there's any, what do you do? So some want to make the following suggestion. Get somebody who doesn't know that the light is on and ask him to open it. Wow, you're giving someone chazer? No, he doesn't know that the light is on. If he does know the light is on, he's what we call in our language a misasek. He has no clue that he's doing anything wrong. So, for him, it's not an aver at all. No, it's not lifnei iver. Lifnei iver means if I cause you to do something which is prohibited for you. But this is not prohibited. It's not an aver at all. I want to tell you that this has there are two authors to this sefer. One of the authors is Rabbi Shalom Gelber, who wrote a book called Nesivos Shalom on laws, on the rules of Masechta Shabbos, the general rules. And he writes, if I'm not mistaken, in his sefer, that he saw Kama More Hora, a number of rabbinical disciples who permitted this, on the grounds that for this person, it's not an aver at all. He has no idea what he's doing. And therefore, I can ask him to do it. He does it, and now I'll be able to have my refrigerator open. It only works once. Can't close it. Well, let's get right. Closing being impossible. So then, some say you can get a guy to undo the electricity, but some will say that's also not allowed because it's detaching a circuit. It gets complicated. All right, so leave it open for the rest of Shabbos. We'll just leave that open a little bit, so the food will get a little bit ruined. Whatever. At least now you have company. People are coming to your house. Now, what about the food later? Right now, you have a problem. Maybe let's say you have a guy to do it. But there's no goy here, only a yid. The goy is going to come in 2 hours. So you have the Jew open it without realizing it. And in 2 hours, the goy will figure out what to do with it. So many posts disagree. Because Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoted, the famous Chuvah Rabbi Kiva Eger, that if someone does something sinful as a misasek, without having any clue, it's still considered to be a maase avera. It's a sinful act. We have to certainly prevent someone from doing it, and how much more so not entice him to do it. But not everybody agrees with Rabbi Kiva Eger. He writes in that famous tshuva, he's arguing one of the greatest people of his day, the Nesivos, the Rabbi Yaakov Melissa. He quotes him, my friend Rabbi Yaakov Melissa disagrees with me. It's in the Mekor Chaim and the Chos Pesach, Simen Tov, Lam, and Aleph. And I think in the yeshivas, we always thought that the Nesivos would write. Not Rabbi Kiva Eger. That the Misasek is not a Maisa Veira at all. In which case, this somewhat preposterous proposal takes on some possibilities. Not so clear. Then he has another discussion. We discussed just today in the shir, this afternoon, a concept called psik resha de lo nichale. If I ask someone to do A, and it leads to B, or myself, I do A, it leads to B, and I don't care about B, then it would be permissible. There are two reasons why he thinks this wouldn't work in our case. One, Is it snichle? You want the light to go on. Why does General Electric put a light in every refrigerator? There's a reason for it. Because people want light, even though there's a light in the kitchen, they want to see better in the refrigerator. So it's nichle. That's the reason I think it's prohibited. They have another reason, which they claim at both from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and from Rabbi Yashiv. Since the GE made a whole system that opening the door automatically puts on the light, we cannot divide them into two acts, opening the fridge and putting on the light. They're one and the same. It's worse than a situation. It's called like a kind of a miscarriage. That's to me a very big kiddush, but that's what they say. So in my opinion, it's prohibited anyway. I think it's considered to be nichale. That's what I believe. Okay, fine. Can you ask a non-Jew to open the refrigerator? Some say yes, some say no. What's the issue? We assume that psikreishah to a nachri, to a non-Jew, is okay. If you assume, as I did, that it's a psikreishah, I'm telling him to open the refrigerator, and the fact that the light goes on is a secondary byproduct, you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to do that. If you have this new idea of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman that perhaps it's one big thing because GE put it together, then it would not be allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it because the light's going on, it's a Torah prohibition, and you cannot tell a Jew to do a Torah prohibition under normal, a non-Jew to do a Torah prohibition under normal circumstances. Okay? Now, could you ask the non-Jew to pull the plug? Pull the plug of the refrigerator, no light's going to go on. Now it's true, after a short while your food may get spoiled, no problem, I have another refrigerator. My neighbor has a refrigerator. I'll just empty the food out and put it in someone else's. Meanwhile, I have something to eat Friday night, I have a Shabbos lunch. That seems to be a decent idea. Huh? Go ahead, pull the plug. So, he says as follows.
What if you pull the plug in the motor?
So it's certainly preferred to pull the plug when the motor is off. Again, in many refrigerators, when the motor is off, there's literally nothing going on. It's just being preserved, the cold. And therefore, all you're doing when you pull out the plug is preventing it from going on later. You can even argue that maybe even a Jew could do that. Well, what do you do? What?
The new electronic refrigerator.
Right, so the new ones have always something going on in them. And that's why it'd be a problem. Or, let's say, for example, the ones that have the fan going in the freezer all the time until you open it. So that the fan is going. Obviously, there's something going on at all times. So you have to... But even then, again, in a pinch, some authorities maintain that it's undoing an electric circuit is a rabbinical prohibition. Even those who say that putting on a circuit is a Torah prohibition. And therefore, to a non-Jew, there's room to be somewhat lenient. Okay. He makes the same distinction. Is the refrigerator dead when the motors are going, or is it electronic things are always going on? He makes exactly the same distinction over here on page Samach Zion, for those who want to see it in greater detail. What happened? You made a mistake. You opened the refrigerator, gewalt, the light is on. You forgot to turn the light off before Shabbos. Now what do? Can't close it. You close it, you're putting off the light. So what do? He said, you put a towel so that just keep it open a little bit and hope that it'll be 95% closed, that it will, the food will be preserved. Some say you can ask a guy to unscrew the bulb. And then, there's another thing, unbelievable. He says, no non-Jew is the following incredible suggestion. I don't believe it, but he suggests it. You have a refrigerator door, right? Take the refrigerator door and push it this way. Push it open more. It'll close back by itself. In other words, many refrigerators, if you push it this way, it'll come back that way. He calls it a grum. Oh, that's fascinating.
Wow.
Fascinating. He said he hasn't said for sure. There's no going, you're stuck. Maybe you can go that way. And it'll come back, it'll close by itself. Maybe it's called the grummer. Malcolm Hefs. It's a great ship of grummer.
And if it doesn't work the first time, push it on.
If you have a sugar, then it's open, right? And then
What happened?
We borrowed the refrigerator on Shabbos, but she wasn't home for Shabbos. She was not sure of it. So we under the light before
right.
Shabbos.
Good.
But apparently we didn't undo it enough. So Shabbos day, the second time I went back to the refrigerator, and when I opened it up, the light turned on.
Whoa.
So,
according to me,
so the refrigerator, had I moved away right away, I think it wasn't closed by itself. But I don't know if it, but I had my son with me and I kind of told him to just pull the door. And then I called him at the leaving. So I don't know if that's
the time for the He has a discussion about
it. 2 years old or 3 years old.
What? It depends. I skipped it, but I guess I shouldn't have. Amira Le Cotton, can you tell a kid to open the refrigerator or things of this nature?
Also her food, not mine. I don't know.
Well, there's a discussion about that. Some say that if the child, even if the child doesn't know that the light's going to go on or off, it's misasek, the quote of the Kivega, misasek is a problem, even for to tell a child to do it, according to some authorities.
Even if not actively closing, just
away. Okay, that may be more permissible. But he does discuss it at some length. Okay. Now, here's another suggestion. The following case. You're not sure if the light is on or off. You're not sure. You forgot. Did you detach it? Did you not detach it? 50-50. May you open the refrigerator on Shabbos. Either you forgot if you put it on or off, or you're a guest in someone's house. From person, and they say, yeah, come, be in business. And they're supposed to make your house Shabbos dick and detach the light. Maybe they didn't. You don't even know what they did. Now it's Shabbos. You can't call them. No, that doesn't help. It's called Nichole. But you're not sure that it's on or not. You just don't know. So he suggests that since you don't know, it's called a Suffolk Psikoreisha L'Sha'ovar, a complicated story. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you should try to avoid it. But if it's only rabbinic, it's okay. So you should get a goy to open the refrigerator and see what happens.
You can't do it yourself.
He says, Shasatcha Godol. There's no goy around. Look what he says. Maybe you should open the refrigerator b'shir. How do you do that? With your shoulder. Like on the football. You give a shoulder block to the door of the refrigerator and knock it open in some abnormal way. That's what he writes. Page Samaches, interesting. What about a water cooler? A water cooler is very similar to a refrigerator. In that sense that it has a, there is a refrigerator, that's what it is, and it goes on in different periods of time, right? So if you could take a cup of water out and drink something from cool off, it's going to happen.
That works like a hot water heater, though, that it refills the top from the bottom, and cools
from the bottom. I'm not sure. I don't know how it works. In certain cases, he says, it would work like a refrigerator. I guess it depends on what kind of water cooler you have. Okay, in the yeshiva, our new base manager has a sign: don't use the water cooler on Shabbos. Please, don't use the water cooler on Shabbos. Now I'm not sure if it's. I did notice in the particular water cooler in our base manager, it goes on very quickly. If you have I think it's a new kind. You take a, I use it all the time. I don't drink water from the water cooler, but the way they set up the new building, there are bathrooms in the we'll call it the east side of the building, and my office is closer to the west side of the building. But there's a water cooler right outside my office door. So I took one of those big plastic cups that they have, and now I wash for lunch every day in the water cooler, cold water washing my hands. And I noticed that I can't fill up that washing cup without the machine going on. Okay. Always goes on. Obviously, I mean, the wash cup is pretty big, like those cups, but still, it's not that big. So maybe the way the water cooler is working on yeshiva, it goes on right away. It makes sense not to use it on Shabbos, because it's going to be almost guaranteed that while you're actually emptying, it's going to happen right away. The old water coolers were not that way. It took a longer time. That's my recollection. Okay, how do you walk into your house if there's an air conditioner going, and if there's a central heating with a thermostat? How do you walk into your house? He writes in the bottom, it's mutter. Why? Why is it mutter? Well, how is this different than a refrigerator? Lenny's question. How is this any different than a refrigerator? It seems to me it's exactly the same thing. So So he says like this. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman's logic. It's a psik ratio with groma. Yeah, I know, but that's the same thing as a refrigerator. So he writes, no, in a footnote. This is less serious than the situation of a refrigerator. Why? I'll read it to you. Mishum shah hashpa'a shal knisas ha'avir rechoka yoser ve'eino nire klal kagor malacha. You're walking into the house, seems to be, it means it's further away. It doesn't look like you're causing something to happen. Since when do the laws of Shabbos depend on how things look? This to me is that's to make things strict and not to make things more lenient. And because it doesn't look like it did anything wrong, so it's okay. Any quotes from Rebbe Yashiv? All said it's okay. I mean, you have to say it's okay. If it's not okay, you're right, we're all out of business. I don't know. I don't want to say. And Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying, it's Havara Shalom Kederech. It's not the normal way you light a fire. The normal way to light a fire is to take a match or to take some oil and then light a fire. Not to light a fire by opening a door and having the cold air come in and tweaking the thermostat and having the fire go on. Now that's a very big Kiddush. How do you define Shalom Kederech? Is Shalom Kederech mean that you're doing something which is abnormal? Or no? Shalom, you're doing something which is completely normal. But the way that the malach is done is not the normal way that malachas are done. Obviously, Rabbi Yashiv is accepting the second view of what's called Shalom Kederech. Slowly. So why is it different than a refrigerator? Again, the difference, he says, is that it is somehow, I'll read it one more time. I can't explain it, I'm just going to read it. Hashpa shal knisa sa'avir rechoka yoser ve'eino nire kegore malacha. It's further, it doesn't look like it's causing a malacha. I don't really understand it, frankly. But as we shall see, I believe that Rav Yashiv is consistent with another opinion, which is even much more striking. Much more striking than this, which I'll explain to you before the shiur is out, the mitzvah shem. I'm just trying to go in order. Are you permitted to open an oven? I have an oven, the oven is on, and I have food in the oven, and you know, I'll be taking it out piecemeal. First I'll take out I'm just throwing out examples, I don't know if it works. I'll take out the soup, then I'll take out the chicken, then I'll take out the kugel, and tomorrow I'll take out the cholent. I don't know if this is real in real life, but let's say I have an oven which has many different things, and I'll pull them out one by one. May I? Or maybe the minute I open up the oven, what happens? A thermostat, once again. So Rabbi Shimon Ayda, Zichron Levracha, wrote in his Sefer that he tried opening an oven. He opened it up 7 times. Because he opened it and closed it, opened and closed it. 7 times in the motor, and the fire didn't change. So he's trying to demonstrate that if you open something and close it, pull it out and close quickly, there's not going to be any immediate lighting of the fire. Of course it's going to change, it's going to go on earlier than otherwise. So in my opinion, it's again permissible, the same as the refrigerator, same as the door to the house. But these rabbis say, no, the refrigerator is no good, and the oven is no good. Only the door to the house is good. Why? Further removed, the same pismon, which I find, honestly, unconvincing. That they're talking about, I assume, about, they're talking about a gas oven, the traditional oven. I don't know if it makes any difference. If there's a thermostat, I'm not sure if it's if there is any difference. That's what he says. He says it's going to cause it to go on earlier.
Maybe what they're saying is when you walk in the front door, it's not connected to your air conditioner. The door to the refrigerator is connected to the refrigerator. The door to the oven is connected to the oven.
Well, that's basically what they said. It's far away and it's close in. But
it's a different machine. It's a different
okay. I think it's the same thing. The fact that it happens to be connected with a hinge, to me, it doesn't.
That's how that works together. That may be what they're saying.
Perhaps, yeah. That probably is what they're saying. But again, to me, I don't find that distinction to be so convincing. Oh, so the Baruch is saying something very important. I don't know what they said. I'm just giving you a quotation. I read it the third time. Hashpa shal kenisa sa'avir rechoka yoser ve'eino nira klal kegorma malacha. They don't say it's a grama. They say it's not, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. It's so far away, you didn't do anything. Eino nirek klal kegara malacha. They didn't do anything. They said, Eino nirek klal kegara malacha. I didn't do anything. I didn't even cause it. It's not even indirect. It's nothing. Now, I'll prove it to you that this is the theory from a different Pesach of Rabbi Yosha, which impacts what we spoke about the last few weeks. Now, before we go any further, he says as follows. There are ovens which have what they call a matzav Shabbat, a Shabbos mode. So there's a Shabbos mode, and what do you mean Shabbos mode? No thermostat. No thermostat. If there's no thermostat, then it's okay. But he writes on the bottom correctly. Not every Shabbos mode is disconnected from the thermostat. Some of the Shabbos just means there's no digital readout. That's all it means. So I don't, that doesn't help me too much. I mean, I think it's put there anyway. But otherwise, I don't see the difference how this Shabbos mode should make a difference in halacha as far as this is concerned. Now, let's go further.
You know, with this thing, I bet no thermostat doesn't pass Eddie, I'll defer to him, but it doesn't make any sense because if something doesn't turn off, then it would keep getting hotter and hotter.
Right. Flame, presumably they have it on, kind of, on a timer. Presumably it's on a timer.
It means it's on a timer.
You know, it'll go on and off, irrespective of whether the door's open or closed. Yeah, that's what they say. That's what that Torah Chazanish dealt with the refrigerator problem. Okay. Hold on, hold on, slowly. Okay. Let's go slowly. Now, go back to last week's shiur. May one use a microphone on Shabbos? No. No. He quotes Rav Moshe's Tshuva that a microphone on Shabbos, well, what are you doing? You are increasing electric current, which he thinks may be a Torah prohibition. Maybe. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes conversely, that increasing current, not creating a new circuit, increasing current is not a Torah prohibition. He's not even sure if it's a rabbinical prohibition. He prohibits using a microphone because of what he calls here Avsha Milsa. It's very public, as opposed to a hearing aid, which we spoke about last time. And he quotes hearing aids. Some say you're not permitted to talk to someone on Shabbos who has a hearing aid. What he says? Rabbi Yashiv. You can't talk to someone on Shabbos if he has an hearing aid, because your hearing, your talking is going to play with the circuitry in the hearing aid.
You shouldn't have to ask.
Oh, so what about someone's about tefillah, about kareh, and someone at the back of the shul is a hearing aid? You're out of business. Stop the services. He says, no. Because you don't have to. Why not? Again, the same story. This is going to be Rabbi Yosha's consistent opinion for today. I'm davening for the Yamud. This guy, nothing to do with me. It's the same kind of idea. I have nothing to do with that guy. I don't get it. I just don't understand that. I know he's there. His hearing aid is clearly visible. That's right. Is he out to the Kriyas HaTorah or not? Yeah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if I have in mind not to be multi one person, I can't be multi anybody. Because I'm a bad guy. That's what it says. I hate one guy. I'm not going to be multi. He's my enemy. So you can't daven for the Yom because you're disqualified. It's not going to be. I don't understand what this really means. I don't understand. Yeah, the same. This is a new story over here. Okay. Rav Moshe's Matirit. And he says, you know, since, this is what Rav Moshe says, it's such a hard thing to understand. The very next shuvah, after the microphone shuvah, is the hearing aid shuvah. Well, since the fears that he had about a malacha d'oraisa with respect to a microphone are not so clear, so therefore you have to be lenient with Tzorach Gadol. What? A d'oraisa? I just don't grab it. Their people are trying to be very careful in what they're doing. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, you know what? He thinks even the Chazon Ish would allow a hearing aid. How can that be? He said any circuitry is prohibited. Well, is what he writes. Since the Shinuyim in the hearing aid are only Lerega commemorate for a second, he doesn't think that's considered to be Bona and Soser, even according to the Chazon Ish. I'm not so sure that's true.
Wow.
You're putting words into somebody else's mouth. I don't know if that's really correct. I have to be honest with you. I don't know. Let's go further. You have a door which opens with an electric eye. More and more common. Don't go near it, because what you do is you are creating an electric circuit which opens the door. So you can't do that. If somebody else opens it for you, opens it. If it's a guy, go right after him. You have to be very quick. Running right after him. You know, because it's while it's open, just running after him. If it's a Jew who's not from, there's a big question whether you're allowed to do that.
But the eye recognizes you even though it doesn't change the door. The eye might still recognize that you're there.
Really?
There may be a light on it, it might blink again.
No, but if you are quick and you literally go match him stride for stride, this other fellow. Doesn't happen? Yeah, still?
A lot of these doors, the light, if you literally stride by stride, then it's the same thing, but it's kind of the way. It can't.
Mm-hmm.
It knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends if it's electric eye or if it was a heat sensor.
Ah.
It's a body heat sensor.
It's hard for me to know what this is really all about.
Why are electric cameras?
Well, come in, patience. That's the next thing. We're going in order. I'm following the order of this safe. I told you there are many orders.
The image of the camera.
Wait! I'm not there yet. Patience.
What about that one? If you might be a Jew, can you sit next to
if you don't know, so I guess you can assume he's not Jewish. But it's a little bit complicated. Anyway, this is a fascinating discussion, and the poskim say that. If not only is it a problem if you are opening the door, but if you leave the place, at that place the door closes. So he says you have to run fast enough that you're, how do you say, you get there after the guy and get out before the guy. You have to really be quick, a sprint.
It's also the same problem as like when you're talking about last week about walking on the street and the lights
go. I'm coming to that. That's my
point. With the door. In other words, you don't have to walk through a door.
That's true. Certain houses, you have to walk, stores, you have to walk 10 feet away, otherwise it's going to start opening. You're right, 100% right. What about a camera? Look, he says, when I walk in front of a camera, I don't care about it. If I don't care about it, perhaps it should be permissible. What does that mean? I just... But
you know what's going on.
Oh. So one, perhaps we could say, it's lo nichli, I don't want it to happen. I don't want my picture. So psikreishit lo nichli, and here we go. If it's rabbinic, so many authorities say, psikreishit lo nichli by rabbonon is permissible. If it's a Torah prohibition, which I don't think it is, but if those who follow circuitry, I don't know, what happens? If you have a camera, and this, all these security cameras, when it's always on, it just shows the street. Now when I walk in front of it, does that change the circuitry? Or just there's a different picture. So no change in circuitry. Good. So then even the Chazon Ish might say it's only the Rabbanan.
Some that are motion sensitive, where nothing's happening, it's not on, but when you walk by, it turns on.
Turns on the camera. That's a problem.
Electric eyes that make the cameras go on and they swivel.
Okay.
My building has a camera,
right?
I'm glad.
No, not you're not. You're glad as a camera, so that the ganav will be caught, not that you're on it. You're not a ganav, Baruch Hashem. So you don't want to be on the camera. Now we come to the final question, the question. I'll read it to you in every word. I think this is the summation of this opinion, which I've mentioned 3-4 times already tonight, which I don't fully understand, but I have to tell it to you. I'll read it to you. The whole thing is 3 lines. Ha'olech b'rechov. He's walking in the street. V'yodea sheba'or v'liyat knisa l'binyan mesuya midolek or. You pass by in front of a certain house, the light's going to go on. You know it. V'ein b'data l'ikonas hasham l'holoch l'darko. I'm just passing by. This happens all over the place now. Houses are everywhere. Horu gedole horo. The giants of Jewish law have ruled shemin hadin, strictly speaking, ein baza iser, not prohibited. V'lachein muta b'makom atzorech leilech sham. If you need to, if you can find a different way, Now, why in heaven's name is this permissible? I thought it's a really serious prohibition. It's a psik ratio de nichale, and in some lights it might even be a doraisa if it says, let's say, an incandescent light. Here I read to you from the Hebrew again because it's so important. Kain shamanu me'agrish al yashiv shlita. This is what I've been hearing for years. I never saw it in print until now from Rabbi Yashiv. And if that's not enough, Rabbi Vosner of Karelitz also the same thing. Why? Look what he writes. The person doesn't care about the light. And the ein lo kesher yashir l'malacha. He has no direct connection to the malacha of light going on. Elohim nif elas berichuk mimenu. Here we go again. It's far from him. I'm here and the light is there. Slowly. The ein kanto elas amyuches seil of klal. It's no connection to me, no gain for me. Ein zu meleches machsheves. The new rule, you have to be the God of the door for this. Ein's machlever, and lo osre torba melechel Shabbos. And then he gives an interesting reductio ad absurdum. It is a lavyan, which means a satellite in heaven who that's taking pictures of everybody work, and they're, the Google Maps. They can be right, the satellite. It means that nobody can work out if the camera is going to take his picture. How can that be? Now, of course, that's not a good comparison. As you said before, there's no observatory. Who cares about what the camera and the satellite does? Here, the light's going on. So it must be, since I have no kesher to the malacha, it's far from me, I have no toelis, it's not called meleches machsheves. Now, first of all, it's not true. I have a toelis. Because if a person is walking in the street at night, he is not interested in the security dimension of it, because he knows he's not a thief, but it's much more pleasant to walk, let's be honest, when the light is on as opposed to when the light is off. That's what I think, anyway. Not true? Oh, good. I'm happy it's not true. I thought it was true.
You're walking at night, and all of a sudden the light pops on, it's disturbing rather than favorable.
Really?
Yeah, it happened to us, I know.
I'm talking about Tuesday. I'm not talking about the Shabbos. Tuesday. No, you don't feel any, the fact that you can see better, you won't hit tripping the crack on the ground, nothing.
Well, I'm okay. It's a short distance. It's only a mile, right? You light up for 2 seconds.
The blinds are in the other house. It's just for this house. That's all. I'm walking by. I'm going
to
be gone.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that the people disagree with me. Because it's always a matter of what the facts are. I thought that the average person would rather walk when there's more light than when there's less light. We just can't afford to have the whole city bathed in such light because it's just too expensive. But apparently the people in the room are all saying that as far as they're concerned, they don't care if there's just a dim street light across the street or this beautiful light that's making everything so clear. If you're right, then you're right. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yoshua says. He says that you're right. But then he has the following line. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. The words of the authors. For who you sold Godol is a major fundamental principle. Vidak ha'iyun. He called the yeshiva dakistic. It's very, very...
Hair splitting,
okay. From Melacha Shabbos. V'yesh li'zar. You have to be careful. Miladamos b'zah milsa l'milsa. So we on our own cannot extrapolate from these rules. Ela baskamas gedoli ha'ora. You have to follow, you have to go to gedoli ha'ora. Now.
It's called strings of that.
Okay. Then he quotes from Shmuel Arbach. That the person is not doing a malacha. What does that mean? He's putting the light on. He gives an example. Now this example, I actually printed this once, in the name of Rabbi Shechter Shalita. He gives an example of the Rashba when it comes to closing a door and there is a deer inside the house. And the Rashba permits it. You see from here, the lo kol davar shenaseh ayedei ha'adam behechreach misyaches elov. Not everything that happens as a result of what you're doing relates to me. And here it's even better because it's more remote, more distant. This I understand already. This is not, a ruling from on high that's not considered the meleches machsheves, which I have no explanation of it. Just saying the words. And Shmuel is saying it in a different way. He's saying that in a certain sense the Rashba explains why it's mutter. The davar she'eino miskaven. Slowly. No, I'm sorry. Davar she'eino miskaven is mutter even not on Shabbos. It's mutter. It's nothing to do with melechas machshavas. It's a separate leniency. But the problem with davar she'eino miskaven is it's a psik reisha. It's inevitable. Every time you walk past that house, the light's going to go on, without exception. Oh. So here we can make the following suggestion.
That isn't true usually.
What's not true?
No, they're probably most of them are probably timed. They don't want them. Who needs to have it go on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Okay, good. But I'm going there at 9 o'clock at night.
If you can tell me that every time I go there at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, every time I go on in the dark. Okay, in the light, in the middle of the day, I'm willing to be more lenient because I agree with you completely that in the middle of the day it's lo nichaleg. Who cares about the light? It's called shraga b'tir. It won't go on. We have one in our building that goes on daytime also. I'm telling you, in my building, my building is behind the times. By the garage, the light, you walk quite any time of the day or night, the light goes on. So not all of them are as sensitive as yours. Outdoors. It's a reality. I know that's a fact. Here's a pshat that this example of tzeda, of trapping, that if it doesn't relate to me, this Rashba runs into a problem. This is asked by the famous Avnei Nezer, the Sokach of a Rebbe. It's against a Gemara, he says, because the Gemara says if I have a beehive and I wish to protect the bees or the beehive from either the sun or the rain, and I cover it up, I run into a problem of tzad. So he asks a question there too. It's not my intention. What's the difference between closing a door on a deer somewhere in the back room of my house and covering the beehive? So here I think that's the answer. When I cover the beehive, I'm touching the beehive. The towel is literally in contact with it. But if it's seder, it's far away, then we have a right to call it a davar she'eino miskaven without running afoul of the psik reisha principle. That's what the Rashba says. So I printed once in the name of Rabbi Shechter, that if that's the case, that might be a leniency with respect to the lights. But not just to say it's not melechas machshavas. I don't understand that. Now, of course, you understand what's happening over here. My view, I'm just speaking retrospectively, now that on page I and Tess, we got this, that's probably pshat in Rabbi Yosef's statement, why you can open your door. Even though the furnace is going to go on, or the air conditioner is going to go on, probably for the same reason, that you're far away, and there's no kesher yashir, it's far from you. Now, this phrase, ein kan to'ela samyuches elav klal, that wouldn't apply in the case of the air conditioner or the furnace, that you have a to'elas. And frankly, I thought it was a to'elas even in the light. Again, the people are disagreeing with me. But I think it's along the same lines that these Gedolei Haroah feel that you can distinguish between opening the door to your house, even though it's triggering shortly down the... that's even better. Here it's instant. There it's down the road. So it's even more of a reason to be permissive, according to them, to open the door if the air conditioning or if the heating is going to go on. Since I don't understand the distinction, Frank, I still don't understand it. Gedolei said it, I still don't understand it. I thought that the only real leniency in either case was to call it a davar she'eino miskaven, and it's not a psik reisha, either because, as we said in this particular case, according to the Rashba's view, it's remote, or in the case of the refrigerator, because it's delayed, it's happening later on, that's why it's permissible. But if I'm right, then it shouldn't matter if it's far away or not far away. The fact that the refrigerator has a hinge and so does the oven should be irrelevant according to my reasoning. No different than the door, which is 50 feet away from the thermostat. That's why I wanted to put the two together. And since we have to be matter opening the door, everyone's matter that for some reason or other, so I want to be matter opening the refrigerator or the oven as well. Whereas the other people say, no, the refrigerator and the oven, that's not allowed, because that's close and connected, etc. As opposed to walking in front of somebody's house and the light's going on, and I assume they have some derivative thereof, open the door to your house and the air conditioning or the heat will go on, that's different, that's further away. Again, I'm giving you full disclosure, that's the opinion of the Gedolei Haroah. Since I don't fully grasp it, I don't understand it too well, I'm more partial to Reb Shlomo Zalman's opinion, that you see from here that a psikresha with a groma is okay. If it's going to happen later on, it's okay. That should be matir both the opening the oven and opening the door to your house and opening the refrigerator, all three. Oh, sorry. What's off? What's on?
You're talking about when it's off.
Off, of course, anytime. I thought it should be mutter because I wanted to put them all in one basket, and to be matir all three. And these gadolim say no, we'll be matir walking in front of a house, which again I'm more partial of Shmuel Arbach, I guess along the lines of his father. He's with the Rashba in a miskavim, it's not a psikreshut. But I understand. We can deal with these things. But once you say Malachas Machsheves and you just proclaim it, so then you can and you say and only we control it. No one else can. Ladamas Milsa the Milsa Askamas the Oli Hara. That doesn't. We weren't brought up that way. You can't just make a principle and say, well, you can't go with it. Only we can tell you what to do with it. That's not how we were taught. We were taught that you have to put things in explainable terms that everyone can understand them and apply them. I mean, not with indiscriminately, but with some measure of understanding of the principle. Here they say the principle, but it's iyun dak, no one really fully understands it, so it only applies in these cases. Okay, that's a psak which I respect, but I find it troubling from where the school of thought that I came from. So I'd rather go with the Dabar Shein HaMiskavin, and it's not a psikresha because it's either it's a remote, as the Rashba by the deer in the house, or it's grama later on, like the Shulta Giborim says in Masech HaShabbos. And if I'm right, then opening the oven or opening the refrigerator will be just as mutter as opening the door to your house. The going in front of the light to me is still, I'm still not sure it's mutter. That's a bunch of big chiddush. It's happening right away, and I'm still not convinced, even though I heard from many people that there's no game at night. I still think people like to walk in the light. What do the ladies say? I think it's a machlokas between the genders over here. Women like to walk in as much when it's lit, well lit, and men seems not to care. I'm not here to get involved in this dispute. Our time is up. Amit Hashem, Lineder. I think we should try. Safety. Okay, right? Exactly. Icy, right? Sometimes it's icy at night. You want the light is very healthy. It's ice and black ice. What happens if a person walks into a place where there is a light? And if he leaves, the light's going to go off. Must he stay there the whole Shabbos? So we'll discuss that, Mitzvah Shem, next Moshe Shabbos. Okay, 7:30 next Moshe Shabbos. Shavua Tov. I think Lisa was correct. That's probably the physical connection. Probably what.